Howie Campbell. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Thank you for being on Labors for Neighbors. It's a new show. It's Father's Day throughout the land. And we all have had fathers. Some of us have had good fathers. Some of us have had bad fathers. We all, according to you and me, we all have fantastic heavenly fathers. But but that is not necessarily modeled well in the land of the living with our secular fathers. Did you have a good... happy birthday, by the way.
Hey, thank you. Some years it actually falls on Father's Day. What a blessing.
But I was born on Mother's Day, believe it or not.
Oh, nice, man.
So I was the best Mother's Day present of all.
I'm not going to make a comment about that. My mind works in weird ways, but I'm being renewed day by day.
Before I ask you about your father, you are the first crazy cool cat, because you strike me as a crazy cool cat because of your workmanship, your craftsmanship, and so I'm calling you crazy cool cat, and henceforth I will call people crazy cool cat, but I will think of you when I call them that.
Nice.
I know you because you performed maybe 2011, maybe 2010. Maybe 2009 at the New York City Rescue Mission in Lower Manhattan. Your music was fine, but what struck me about you was your spirit. You have a Christly spirit, and I have learned in the years since then that you. See, I'm here to investigate your workmanship because you are a weird, wild, wacky guy, man.
Well, that's putting it mildly.
tell me about your dad and to what extent his work ethic blessed you at all.
My dad was a great guy when he was sober early on.
Right.
Later on, didn't see much of him sober.
In your earliest years, what did you glean from him? What was the good stuff that you gleaned from him when he was sober?
I gleaned $20 out of his pocket one time, but he caught me, and that was a bummer. But what I gleaned from him, well, he told me one thing.
Yeah,
he was a used car salesman. He would always become either the general manager or the sales manager. The man was an incredible salesman. He actually taped himself and others making sales, and then he would practice. He was a brilliant mind. He could outthink a calculator. He could outcalculate a calculator. The man had so much incredible potential. He did Babe Ruth. He coached Babe Ruth baseball early on. Later on, alcohol got the better of him. He became unbearable.
Did you have any athleticism in your early years because of his coaching?
Not because of his coaching. He never coached me. I was athletic. I played baseball and football a little bit, okay. But mainly I ran around in the woods, you know, like a crazy man.
You write your own music from time to time, don't you?
I do. And it's funny you should mention, I mean, it's interesting we should be talking on Father's Day because of my upbringing, a lot of that carried over into my parenting. I met Jesus when my daughter was 3, my son was 1.5 years, and I prayed that the Lord would help me to be a good father because I didn't really have that as a role model. And I prayed that God would not allow me to ruin my kids. That was my prayer. But, I mean, a lot of residuals happened. I did the best I could. God definitely...
Wait, residuals, music residuals?
No, residuals from my upbringing. You know.
Good anger. Residuals or bad residuals?
Anger, good, some good, some good.
Yeah.
My mom was a great role model. She was a hardworking woman. She supported us 6 kids, you know, basically. But I just wrote a song about I decided I want to write an album of songs about my early years so that my kids will have a reference point. And so I just got through with a song about my dad, basically.
Have you posted it yet?
No, I haven't actually recorded it. It's called Life is What You Make It. And one of the so the repeating verse or the chorus in the song is Life is What You Make It. Let me see. How's it go? I'm on the spot. It's hard to think of.
Sure.
But the opening era is when I was just a lad of 15, my dad left home. I was glad to see him go. So there you go.
Oh no!
But life is what you make it.
It's a touchy subject. I find that fathers are much touchier subjects generally, overwhelmingly, than moms. Moms generally, overwhelmingly, do a better job with their kids, maybe for obvious reasons, maybe probably because they are sacrificial and in some sense godly and miraculous, but in some instances, a little bit with you, the father gives some good gifts. He gives some my gift from my son Isaac today is this shirt. I have a I had a ragtag shirt, and they said, "Yeah, let's give you your gift earlier than intended." So this is. who did you get the music bug from?
My dad.
He
had a great Irish tenor voice, and he played trumpet. And my mom and dad both loved music. I had music in the house all the time. You know, we used to listen to Herb Albert, 101 Strings, Al Hurt, you know. So there was a jazz pop influence in my early days. Some folk, Burl Ives, things like that, you know.
I'm a big Herb Albert fan.
Herb Albert, what a musician.
And the Tijuana Brass.
Yes, and another great one is who sings Chestnut Roasting on an Open Fire?
It's not
Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole.
Yeah, so
the smoothest voice in the world, right?
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful voice! Yeah. So my music. My dad wanted me to play trumpet. I didn't want to. My mom wanted me to play piano, so she got me piano lessons. And then she bought an organ. Trying to learn piano on an organ is rough. But later on, I picked up a guitar and taught myself guitar using a Mel Bay book, and it blossomed from there.
My daughter taught herself to play guitar. Via the internet, and I learned trumpet. And the only sad thing about trumpet is that you can't accompany yourself when you play trumpet. You can't sing and play trumpet at the same time. So I tried to learn guitar. I took one lesson, gave up because I wasn't willing to practice. Howie, I consider you when I think of you, I think the word troubadour comes to mind. Has anyone ever called you a troubadour?
Absolutely. In fact, somebody called us musicianaries at one time. You know,
does your wife Debbie play an instrument besides a tambourine?
Yes, she plays a rain stick. She plays shakers. she's been working on a djembe. So yeah, she's my percussionist.
Does she perform in your recordings?
She does play on my recordings. In fact, just got through with a recent one entitled Holy Devoted.
I want to go one layer lower with you, deeper. Are you independently wealthy? You remind me of St. Paul, and he was a tent maker. But he went from town to town to town, and they would put him up because he wasn't maybe the wealthiest man in the world. And he could provide for himself, but there is a great, wonderful tension there where you're allowing the person to put you up because it is a blessing to them. It's a blessing to you. And it is
absolutely
for, how do you make ends meet?
Well, you know, the interesting a misconception about Paul was that he was a tent maker and that's how he made his money.
Right.
He didn't always make money making tents.
Right.
In fact, he did take donations, and a lot of people don't understand that. But the early church was noted for hospitality. And I hate to say it, but a lot of people in the church today don't know a thing about that. But there are a lot of people that do. And in fact, right now we're staying with the Lord hooked us up with these people 8 years ago, and they're a real blessing to us. So we come up to Buena Vista, Colorado every year and do a concert at McFellamy Park. And we stay with our dear friends, Dwayne and Joe. And so there are a lot of people who put us up. But we have a number of people who are good friends of ours who support us.
Your church.
We take donations.
I think your church either provided temporarily or permanently a camper for you?
Well, recently. Mm-hmm. The last three vans we had, well, the last two of the last three vans died. We just recently sold this last one, and one of our supporting churches in Virginia blessed us with their church bus. And it's the first time we've actually had this much room while we were on the road.
Who are your two or three biggest supporting churches?
Let me put it this way. We have three supporting churches.
Laurel Hill Baptist Church
in Virginia.
Say that again.
Laurel Hill Baptist Church in Virginia.
Okay.
First Chinese Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
And Alexandria Bay Baptist Church in Alexandria Bay, New York.
And a shout out to Debbie, who gave you the secret answer on that third church. Thank you, Debbie. So are you an itinerant? Are you and Debbie itinerant musicians?
Yes. Well, musicianary says it all. So we've got a double whammy with this COVID thing, you know. We're musicians and we're missionaries to America. And we feel very strongly that we are living in at the very end of the age, and there's a wedding coming. So we're basically out inviting people to the wedding. You know,
give me an anecdote regarding, good grief. Just recently, in the last year or so, a place that you went that was very good, that was very glorious, that you said, holy mackerel. Regarding you were doing labors for neighbors and you saw a fruit of your labor.
On the Rosebud Indian Reservation, the poverty and substance abuse is extreme. In fact, it's called a third world country within a third world country within America. God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and the foolish things to confound the wise. So here we are, poor folks, tossed everything and living for Jesus, sharing Jesus, pretty foolish in most people's eyes. And we go to the poorest of the poor on the Lakota Sioux Reservation. But those people, there are many people there who have faith. And we've seen people give their lives to the Lord. We've seen miracles take place on the reservation. It's amazing. It's amazing. There is ongoing discipleship there. We have dear friends that live there. Other friends that are ranchers that put us up while we're there.
Have you been there multiple times?
Yes. Well, that's an amazing story in itself. When we were first saved, we landed on the Cattaraugus Indian Reservation in upstate New York. That's a long backstory I won't get into. But the woman we were staying with was a world-renowned shaman. And we were brand-new Christians, didn't know what was going on. But she says, if you love our people and want to help out, you should go to the Rosebud Reservation. 25 years later, so we prayed, Lord, if you want us there, you'll have to send us. 25 years later, the answer to that prayer came through China.
How so?
Well, for one thing, I was on staff at a Chinese church in Memphis. We moved to Virginia and met a fella who was going to China as a missionary. He was emigrating to China. Ended up meeting his wife there. Heard we were coming across country and that we wanted to go to the Rosebud. He said, you should call my in-laws who actually have a ranch on the Rosebud Reservation.
Wow.
That's how God works. It's amazing. God is amazing.
Howie, we're almost out of town, out of time.
Yes.
Any last shout outs to anyone?
Yes. Let me say this. Since this is a thing about your life work, most people have a job. I would suggest to you that a job is only a means for being a witness for Jesus. That our life calling as Christians is to be an ambassador for Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're only here to represent our kingdom, our King. And so as we go about our job, whether it's, you know, at the city mission or, you know, carpentry or lawyer or doctor, whatever we do all in the name of Christ. And all with the idea that Jesus is going to shine his light through us and allow us to be a witness for him. So do everything to the best of our ability, but with the idea that we may be the only gospel people are reading. Let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify Yeshua HaMashiach.
I could not have said it better myself, Howie. God bless you and Debbie, and thank you for your labors for neighbors, and have a good Father's Day.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, let's talk after this, all right?
All right, sounds good.